Good morning, Mother Earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father Sun. Thank you for feeding all living things on Earth. Thank you, Plant Kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, Animal Kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, Great Spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I hope you all had a wonderful Valentine's Day. It's always good to celebrate love and the affairs of the heart. Today, I would like to celebrate by sending a Valentine to the first people, the First Nations of the world. If you're not familiar with this term, I'm referring to the indigenous tribes in every country in the world who have held fast to the ancient wisdom of their ancestors and continued to walk their traditional path, honoring the Creator and all their relations. In spite of the genocide that has often been perpetrated against them, and in spite of the stringent efforts of their conquerors to destroy their faith and their way of life, they have continued to walk in the ways that were originally taught from the beginning of time. Thanks to those who have shared their wisdom with us, we do have a blueprint today to show us how we can return our world to a home of peace and harmony for all. Now, I don't know how many of you have looked at my website. It's www.shamanskeep.com. But if you have, you know that I have a letter on there to Native Americans. In it, I acknowledge that I am a white woman who has been led by the Great Spirit into the study of healing shamanism, which incidentally is not exclusive to Native Americans. It is a method of spiritual healing that has been practiced by indigenous peoples all over the world for over 40,000 years. I do cherish and honor the Native American teachings that have been made public, and I ask that they forgive all of us who are hungry for their wisdom. In my letter, I say that I pray that the Great Spirit will lift you up on eagle's wings to rise above this and see the big picture. This is the time of the great healing. The tide is turning, and the Caucasian races are turning to the red race to lead us back to nature and the natural ways of the Creator. Healing between the races must happen if we are to heal Mother Earth. So please forgive us and open your hearts and teach us the great truths we are so hungry to receive. If the plastic Indians, those you've criticized for selling out to the white man for money, if they're not teaching us right, then please come forward and teach us the good traditional ways. So today, I feel very blessed that my prayer has been answered, and a wonderful Native American lady has come forward to share some of the traditional teachings with us. Her name is Renee Irigoyen, and I will let her tell you a little about herself. Thank you so much for joining us today, Renee.
Thank you so much, Caroline. I feel very honored to be here, and I'm blessed. I'm just blessed. Anyway, a little bit about me. My background, I'm Western Shoshone and Gabrielino and Mexican and Belgian. And I am grateful for my ancestors and my background, of course, because they all made me who I am today. And I'm also a sun dancer, and I do the Lakota ways. I've been doing these ways for, 20 years now. Probably even when I was little and I didn't know what it was, but I did practice certain things when I was very small.
Mm-hmm.
My education is, I'm Basque too. My father was Basque and Native. Anyway,
You're
I'm grateful
also a pipe
for the,
mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm a pipe carrier. I have a pipe that belongs to all the people, not just me. I'm just in charge of protecting the pipe, making sure that that it's respected, basically.
Yes, I know that's a great honor. Who bestowed that upon you? Because I know it has to be gifted to you through mm-hmm. an elder or a pipe carrier.
Yeah. I never really believed that, or actually when all this started, I didn't really even think I could be worthy of carrying a chinupa, but a sacred pipe. But as time went on, and as I got more involved with our walk here on Earth, I realized that in order to get certain points across or talk to the creative force, you need, it's a good thing to have a chinupa because it helps you communicate. It's really mm-hmm. a good tool as well as a blessing to have and an honor to have.
I understand that you are of mixed ancestry, but you've chosen to walk the red road, to follow your Native American bloodline. And how is it that you made that choice?
For me, it was just right. There was no other way, really. There's no other way for me. We're all different. And the red road isn't for everyone. It's not. And we all have medicine. Every race, every culture, we all have certain medicines we carry, certain gifts we carry. To the Lakota, it's real important to be humble, to have perseverance, and of course respect is huge. Honor and love, we sacrifice a lot. Our people sacrifice a lot, and it's very important to sacrifice. A lot of people have forgotten that, so maybe that's a little something we need to work on and remember. We also have to know when something's true, because we feel it in our little gut. We just know that it's true. Our solar plexus, we know it in our heart that it's true. So a lot of the stuff that we're being told in this culture, the non-Indigenous culture, it isn't true. A lot of it is manipulative and comes from fear. So if we know that, then we can deal with everything. We can have a better platform to work from, to walk our walk.
Yes, I do believe that we have an inner knowing that we feel it when something is right, when something is true. We feel it, and we know that this is true. Now I know many Indigenous tribes around the world and Native American tribes here in the U.S. follow a matriarchal tradition, and this, of course, was very foreign way of thinking to Europeans when they came to the New World, and because they came from a patriarchal way of life. Help us to better understand how a matriarchal system works.
Well, it's really simple. It's really, I think the closest we came to a matriarchal would maybe be the Iroquois, because they were very, and the Navajo women do too. They have a respect. Well, Native people across the board, the Indigenous people way back when, before we got assimilated, we really, really knew that the feminine was sacred. We were connected to that. That's what the woman was pretty much revered, but we didn't take advantage of that. We knew that the man is just as important as the woman. Male and female are equal because the man goes out to hunt, brings the food home. The man is the protector. He's the warrior, right? And the woman mm-hmm. takes care of the children and the home and makes the food, of course, and the clothing and lots of things. I mean, we did lots of things back then. And remember, all of us on Mother Earth came from tribal nations, mm-hmm. not just Native Americans, not just First Nations people here. We all came. It's just that a lot of the non-Indigenous or non-Native Americans know their reality is different from ours because they have been programmed a lot longer, I think, into believing things that aren't necessarily true.
Mm-hmm. Well, theirs is a patriarchal system, so it's very different because I know when I say matriarchal, I mean you follow the bloodline of the mother as being the main source of your ancestry. And mm-hmm. I've even heard that because of the mother's bloodline is so important, that the mother's brother is actually the most influential man in her children's lives rather than
mm-hmm.
the father.
That's very true. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. And that is because, not just because of the bloodline, there's so many different reasons for it. Because they our warriors would go to war, they would go to hunt, and all those things were dangerous. Maybe they didn't come home. So mm-hmm. the mother's in mourning, everybody's in mourning, but the sometimes the grandfather or the uncle or some other good man in that nation or tribal nation comes to take care of those young children and take mm-hmm. the father's place that way and teaching them the ways and teaching them how to be good men and good women or mm-hmm. whatever. So mm-hmm. It was pretty intense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, it's very interesting when you think about women's roles and how they're revered among Native mm-hmm. Americans. I had the opportunity several years ago to attend a celebration in Ruidoso, New Mexico by the Apache mm-hmm. tribe. And the celebration, yes, they were honoring the young girls who had reached womanhood during that year. Mm-hmm. And now when I say I attended the celebration, I mean I went to those parts that were made public. A lot of the parts mm-hmm. were not public, okay? But it was wonderful and a precious time for women as they were recognized mm-hmm. as the bearers of life, the possessors
yeah.
of the most prized gift that the Creator could give us, and that is the ability to create new life in our mm-hmm. bodies and bring forth the future of the future people of the world. So, I mean, this was a wonderful perspective that I had never heard before. I wish people everywhere in the world could view women that way. Could you tell us a little bit more about these kind of rites of passages that are celebrated for women?
Yeah, they usually last 4 days. We're big on the number four because of the four directions and everything in life is four. So what this really does, I believe, is celebrate that the rite of passage for the woman goes from girlhood to womanhood, childhood to womanhood, right?
Right.
And that comes along with their moon time. The Apache have a certain day, July 4th, where they do all the girls at once, which is mm-hmm. great. Other nations, we're all different. We all have different creation stories and ceremonies. But mm-hmm. basically, we've all got the same idea. And woman is always honored when her moon time starts, which is her menses, mm-hmm. her period, okay,
right.
in this culture.
Yes,
so,
she becomes a woman capable
yes.
of creating new life.
Exactly. So it's sacred. It's a very sacred time. And the woman, the girl goes into womanhood realizing how sacred she is. Now, she's told us she's sacred when she's little, too. So it doesn't come as a shock to her, but it's a very natural transition most times if it's done properly. So it's something that our non-Indigenous culture has forgotten. They just need to be reminded how special it is. And then the non-Indigenous culture can remember how sacred our women are and how much yes. they need to know this, so our children, our young girls, can know who they are, where they came from, and where they're going. There's a I think in today's culture, not very many of our women know why we feel disconnected, and why we feel out of balance, and why we're sad during our moon time, and we hurt. And we're frustrated. And we're all mixed up. We feel disconnected during that time. And we don't, the non-Indigenous and Indigenous women too, we all need to remember why we have that moon time, why it's there. And not only is it a purification for our body, it's also to remind us that we're sacred. And that we have a chance, a little chance, to carry life inside our bodies in that little nest. And that we're co-creators with the Creator God. So at moon time, we're actually in mourning. That's why we feel kind of out of sorts. We're out of mourning. We don't realize it because most our women are made to forget why we have the moon time, or never knew it. We knew it in our truth, in our heart and spirit, but we have commercials that say it's creepy and unclean and all that baloney. And it's really to be celebrated.
So why but would you chance... call it a mourning? A mourning. Why would you be mourning?
I'm getting to that. I'm talking a little slow because I have a tendency to talk a little fast sometimes, but I'm trying to talk slow so everybody hears, really hears what I'm saying.
Okay.
It was our chance to make a new life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And our little nest bleeds out because it didn't get fertilized. The egg didn't get fertilized. So that life isn't fertilized, so it comes out. It's very easy to understand that. Mm-hmm. And so we're in mourning because it was a chance to have a new life enter here on Mother Earth in our world, and it didn't happen. So subconsciously, and not very many people know it consciously, but we're going to change all that as time goes by. Mm-hmm. It's a subconscious kind of mourning. It's mourning.
Yes,
for that baby
because
that didn't
there was
happen.
No baby. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's why
wow.
the guys don't understand why we're cranky and why we're out of sorts. But
well, most women
long ago,
don't either.
yeah. But long ago, what we would do, we would be isolated from the men. And because we're very powerful at that time, we would rather be sewing and creating things and talking together, and just like at work sometimes, you can notice that a lot of women are on the same moon time, right? A lot together. Because when we're together, that's what happens. We get on the same track. So we would have actual teepees or lodgings where we would go to be all together. And the women that weren't, or the clan mothers, would take care of us. And they'd go, oh, you want some tea? Here's some tea. Here's some food. You know, they would baby themselves and enjoy it. Be grateful
so
for that
separated.
Time alone. Mm-hmm.
You were separated from the tribe during that time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because we're sacred at that time. Very sacred time. Very powerful.
Okay. Yeah. Very, very interesting concepts that most of our listeners probably have never heard of. Okay.
And some Native women have never heard of it too.
Oh my goodness.
Because we've been assimilated. Everybody that's here now has been assimilated at some level or another. So we need to, there's a strong need to wake up. And women will definitely have a huge part in waking up each other, waking up their girls, because it's important because we're the hub. We're the foundation of the family unit. We're in charge of teaching. Mm-hmm. Teaching not only our children and our girls and our boys how to treat each other with respect, compassion, bravery, generosity. We share that wisdom that needs to be shared. Our husbands know it too. So like energy attracts. So it's always good to a good idea for us to find good men and make good men and good women.
So there's a time when a girl is usually entering her teens and begins to have her moon time. And so there's a celebration then. And during their moon times, they were separated and where they could rest and just be during their moon time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And now, is there another rite of passage, perhaps later when they begin to bear children, or some kind of celebration of
ceremony?
That time?
There's ceremony for everything. Everything that goes on in life, there's a ceremony for, and it's beautiful. I love these ways. There's we have ceremonies. We have like the Inipi, which is a purification ceremony done when we need one, or done before ceremony, done after ceremony, so we can safely return from the world that the ceremony puts us in, into the world that's, you know, the busy, bustling world of today. So we've got ceremonies to even go back into the world. Mm-hmm. We have birth ceremonies and the moon time ceremony. We also have a grandmother ceremonies to celebrate the wisdom that our older, wiser grandmothers come into and receive. We also have the Hablecho, which is like a vision quest. Or it really means what crying for a vision or crying through the night for a vision, which is also 4 days, which it's a sacrifice with no food and no water. It's fasting and basically asking for what we think we need, which it can change. By the time we get out, it can be something completely different because at that point in time, we're working with the creative force, which is all our ancestors come and they're all invited. And sometimes maybe not so good spirits come, but we know we're taught how to deal with that situation too. So after the ceremony and after ceremony, we get together and we have a big feast. We have all this beautiful food and yummy stuff, desserts and all kinds of things. Before we even eat after the ceremony, to give thanks to those that came in, our ancestors, the creative force, all of the spirits, we make a thing that's called a little spirit bowl. So we put all the things that we're going to have there at the feast inside the bowl, and we put it outside. We give it up to the creator and all our spirit friends and families.
You make their feast and put it outside for them.
Yeah, of course. Yes. This is very important because, we're not supposed to eat until they're taken care of.
Oh.
It's a respect.
Yes, it's a great way of honoring them.
Respect is woven inside and out of all these ways, which is often forgotten in the non-Indigenous world. So that has to come back too, so we can keep the world back, we can put it back in balance.
Okay, so
That's
you're
how
saying you honor your
I feel.
ancestors, those that have passed over, by preparing a feast. They get their feast first. You put, like, make a plate or a bowl for them and put it outside, and then you can go ahead and have your feast.
Which
That's
always,
beautiful.
I know, it's really beautiful. There's so many beautiful things about these ways. My heart cries sometimes because I think about how, I don't know, I just think how much people miss our own people because they don't do ceremony, and people that can do it, all they have to do is look up in the sky and look all around them. Life is beautiful. Our earth is so beautiful.
Yes,
So
and we
that's
want to
another place.
honor it.
Yeah, and respect. Respect it would have kept all our trees here. Respect would have given us more oxygen because we'd have more trees, and then we wouldn't be so out of balance because we can't think straight, and our food would be healthy. So to walk with a small print on Mother Earth, walk gently, is highly important.
Yes, we're, because humans are only one life form among millions, myriad life forms on the planet. And
Oh
some,
yeah, and
we're,
we're all related. Don't forget that. Yeah, because without one, we're all in trouble.
Yes, there is a oneness in the great spirit. We say the great spirit moves in all things. So we are connected and we're all part of this one. Okay, I'd like to back up just a little bit. When you were talking about doing ceremonies and you said inipi, are you talking about sweat lodges?
Oh yeah, I forget. Yes, Anipi is a Lakota name for the ceremony, the actual ceremony. The Initi is the lodge itself.
Oh, okay.
And I want to
Okay.
make it clear that we do not charge money for ceremony. If it's real, if it's really, really, really real, then there's no money involved. The
Yes.
minute money comes into the picture, run for the hills! Get out of there! Because it's, there's no, it's not a safe place to be.
Well, obviously, we have the story that just happened, what, last year or the year before, that James Ray had one of the great motivational speakers in the United States, and he was on the movie, the video of The Secret, a very influential person. But he did a sweat lodge in Sedona, Arizona, with, I believe he had almost around 60 people in there, and it was not done right, and he charged a lot of money, and three people died, and several others were hospitalized, and of course he was arrested, and probably will spend the rest of his life in prison for that. So it has to be done right and in a sacred way.
I believe you're right, yes. And that's why I said it's not a safe place as soon as they do that kind of thing. And that's a real good lesson for all of our people, because that's why I said these ways are not for everyone. Because everyone, it's, there are people that will take our ways and our medicine and abuse it.
Yes,
And
and
that's why we guard. That's why I'm not saying too much. Notice I'm not saying what the ceremonies involve and how it's done and all that stuff, because that's sacred information. And I can say why we need to straighten things out. I can say my opinion, but I can't say anything else other than just lightly hit on some of the truths that I feel in my heart that non-Indigenous people can understand, because it's two
Yes.
completely different cultures, right?
Right.
So this Indigenous culture is kind to the earth. We originated from a kindness and a respect for Mother Earth. It was changed, it has been changed, because non-Indigenous people came and changed the way we were. some of us, the traditionalists, try to hang on to it, but it's still really kind of changed a little bit. And we're mm-hmm. very leery of anything that's not indigenous. Except we can tell, if we're awake, we know that a lot of our people are coming back. A lot mm-hmm. of our people are coming back in white bodies.
Yes.
A lot of them. I have learned things from white people that are amazing, that are mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate that, and I thank them for that, because it makes me think. I like to be inspired, and I like to inspire. And we get that from the creative force.
Yes, so, and I believe that people are waking up now, and many people are opening to the Great Spirit and wanting to know more about how to do ceremony and how to be a part of this. And
that's where respect enters into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So if they come to you, if they're non-Indigenous people that want to know, like me, if mm-hmm. they come to you in a respectful way and honoring the traditions and honoring the Great Spirit and everything, then it could be open to them, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. It takes a while. Usually it takes a while because... Mm-hmm. We've been fooled. Some people have been fooled, like this guy that mm-hmm. took the Inipi. He was taught by mm-hmm. somebody, or he mm-hmm. read it somewhere. So we have to be careful what we write down, what we say, because it could be fuel for someone that would use it in a negative manner. And that's been from the beginning, okay? They want what you have because you're light. Well, they can't have it. Just because they say they want it or act like they want it, right?
Oh, I understand what you're saying. They have to show that it's real, that their heart is really open, and they are walking mm-hmm. in a sacred mm-hmm. way upon the Great Mother, and they are honoring all their relations and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you on that, but I do believe that the light is for everyone that is open to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but what I meant to say is that we're responsible.
Yes.
We are responsible for the knowledge we have.
Oh, okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes. So
with
have
that
to
responsibility.
Use it in a good way. Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes. So, that's it.
Well, mm-hmm. I am very much in favor of honoring all of these great traditions, and
you certainly are.
And there are a lot of people that are beginning to wake up and beginning to want mm-hmm. to know more and to be hungry for these mm-hmm. things. Mm-hmm. You also mentioned in the opening that you have done the Sundance for several years now. Mm-hmm. Can you mm-hmm. share any information about that with us?
Sure, I can. We sacrifice in the Sundance. We sacrifice so the people may live. And by people, we mean the creepy crawlers, the ones that swim in the ocean people, the plants, the four-leggeds, the two-leggeds. All our sacred plants are really important. So we sacrifice for all that, the air, the earth we walk on, the sky above us, everything. Nothing's left out, because each dancer usually makes a commitment of 4 years. And in those 4 years, they cover so many things. My first year, I covered abused children and the abusers. You have to go full circle. Can't leave anybody out. You have to know how to send your intentions up into the universe. We sacrifice by not eating or drinking any water or any liquid. So some people can have a little bit to eat and a little bit to drink, because a lot of our Sundancers are diabetic.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe they're on medication. whatever, they need to stay on that medication, I think. And mm-hmm. it's up to them and their creator, of course, but no two-legged can tell another two-legged what to believe, really. We dance and we reflect on our intentions.
And you pray, right? It's you're praying this whole time for the 4 days that you're doing this.
Our intentions, that's prayer.
Oh, okay.
See what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Our intentions go up with the smoke that comes from our chinupas, our sacred pipes. That smoke with every breath is our intention that goes up to the Creator. So the Creator sees that too, sees so many ways. They hear our words, they see the smoke, they know our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
So our thoughts are sacred, our walk is sacred at that time, especially. And that's how we walk for 4 days. We also have a tree in the middle of the Sundance Circle. And we have, it's like a big medicine wheel. And we have the four doors, the four directions. And we have the middle, which is where the sacred tree is. And the tree stands up. We bring it in. We pick it out and we bring it. The whole nation comes, right? The whole tribe comes. The grandmas, the grandpas, the aunties and uncles, the children, the sun dancers, and all the people that are going to support all of us. There could be a lot of people. We go out and we pick the tree, and the tree's already picked. But we cut the tree down. We say prayers and cut the tree down, and we have girls that haven't started their moon time yet, little ones. And they're with us at that time, and they're our little sisters that also honor the tree, and we take that tree to the Sundance grounds. We don't let it fall down on the ground. We lift it all up.
Oh.
We take it to the Sundance grounds. We lay it on beautiful star quilts that the women have made, and then we take our prayer flags full of tobacco in the different colors of the directions. We tie our prayer ties on the tree, and then the men put their ropes on the tree, and we lift it. All of us lift the tree, and we put it inside the hole that's been dug with a little sacred bundle at the very bottom. And so there you have it. That is the beginning of the sun dance. Really, I think the beginning is in spring sometime when we're getting ready for the sun dance. But at the grounds, that notes the beginning of the Sundance. So the next day we get up early with the sun and enter into the sacred circle, the big medicine wheel, the Sundance circle, and we say we honor the tree, we do the four directions, we start the dance begins. Mm-hmm. And we dance there for those 4 days, keeping in mind our intentions, sending our prayers up to the Creator and all our ancestors. For everybody has their own reason. Of course, I told you what mine was then. I've sun danced for years now, but I never stopped at that four-year mark. I just kept on going and going. And it's a way of life for me, and I'm so grateful that I have these ways, and I have a way of helping people. Being of service is huge, gigantic.
Yes.
Making
yes,
people
well.
Laugh is huge, because laughter is a blessing. Laughter is hilarious, and it opens up our heart. So we can learn more and love more and move that good energy around our earth and each other, of course, you know.
So, yes, that sounds wonderful, because I believe that joy is the lifeblood of the Holy Spirit or the Great Spirit. And when people are joyful, everything, you know that they are in touch with their spiritual side, that they are in touch with that
it's
part
true.
Of us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I agree totally. Yeah. That's really a good way to put it. Yeah, thank you.
So you dance from sunrise to sunset? Is that how you do it?
Yes.
Okay, for 4 days with no food, no water. And I'm just in awe that you can do that, that you're out in the blazing sun. And can you talk at all about the piercing, or do you, would you rather not
go
there?
No, I'm not going to go there, no.
Okay, all right. I'm sure a lot of people have read news articles and, you know, seen stories about that. But
it's
that's part of the sacrifice, too.
Exactly, that's what I was going to say. That's what I meant by sacrifice. This non-Indigenous culture really they're not familiar with sacrifice, other than maybe Jesus Christ on the cross bled and died for many reasons. But these ways are when we say sacrifice, and crying is a sacrifice, piercing is a sacrifice, we give it up. We give all that up and out so the people may live.
Yes.
Right? That is, and I explained who the people are.
Yes, that's all life forms on the planet.
Yeah, pretty much.
The tree people, the stone people, the animal people. Yes,
the rock.
All life, yes.
Now, let me explain something, too. The reason I'm not saying a whole lot is because I don't want to give too much out there. You know, we're on radio. I want to give enough, but not too much. I want you to know that I believe anybody can reach that place of the total connection, the total oneness. But in our ways, we like to start slowly. So one of the ways is to remember how sacred Mother Earth is, and everything we really, really need is here. She already has it. It's here for us. This place was called Turtle Island in the beginning, because the turtle carries her little home with her. She has everything she needs. She loves her little dandelions. They're everywhere, or they used to be, right? So
yes, and it's a sacred plant. It's one of the most valuable plants on the planet.
Yes.
So
very good. I believe so too.
Yes,
so
it's edible and medicinal.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. Have you ever tasted it? It's really not that bad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually, some grocery stores have begun to carry dandelion greens, and they're delicious in salads.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cute. I love that. I grew up with turtles. Anyway, one of the ways to kind of try and get back to loving the earth and having respect would be like to take a long walk on a path and look down and see if you can see a rock, a little rock that's calling to you, right? Something you might want to take home. But you don't just pick it up and stick it in your pocket and walk away. You sit with it for a while, and you ask, would you like to come with me? Would you like to go on a little journey with me? What do you have to teach me? Right? And you don't take it without asking. Never do that. You never take without asking, because it's one of the respectful little lessons we need to learn, to respect Mother Earth. And that rock is Mother Earth. It is us, right? We don't want to be taken without asking, right? Neither does the rock. So we leave a little water behind. We leave tobacco as a little gift in its place, if we get a yes, right? Then we pick the rock up, and we're thankful for that rock. We can breathe our breath into that rock, and we can become one with that rock. And the rocks hold the knowledge. The rocks hold a lot of knowledge, just like our whales do, right? Mm-hmm. They were here for many years before we came. So they know. They were here from the beginning. The big sequoias, the big redwoods, they know the knowledge.
Oh, yes.
So,
Yes.
So respect, being respectful is majorly important.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
okay.
There's, you know, sometimes the reason we're attracted to a rock or a feather mm-hmm. or something that we see laying on the ground is mm-hmm. because it has a message, it has something to offer us. And I
yes.
found that some rocks are healing rocks,
mm-hmm.
and even some feathers are a gift to us that can be used as for healing, for cleansing the aura, the energy field around us, and things like that.
Yeah, well, they can represent gifts of they're like they can be used for tools. We use them a lot in the sun dance. So, in any ceremony, Native people, we all have them, and we all cherish them. It's an honor to receive one. I mean, a huge honor, and we take really good care of them. We also do a lot of healing work with them, and we can, because we don't really heal things or anything by ourselves. Remember, that's why we honor our ancestors so much, why we are aware of the importance of the Creator. We're more like a little conduit, and we need to be humble, or they can take it away. That's another
yes.
reason why we don't charge for ceremony, because it's
exactly.
so delicate. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I'm very aware that whatever healing work I do, that I'm just the facilitator or the channel
yeah,
for it to happen. And I'm very grateful to the healing spirits that work with me and through me. And
mm-hmm.
so I, you know, that's why I say, well, a donation of some kind would be nice,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't put a price on it, and I can't charge for the spirits help, because they're the one that are doing this, you know, and
yeah.
I've been blessed
yeah.
that they chose to work with me, so, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and that
and we're
is
not
honoring
just working.
And respecting.
It's so true. It's so true. It's honoring and respecting. We're not just working with spirits either. When we're working with whoever needs help, we're working with them too. It's their relationship with the creative force.
Yes.
Because without that, then we really are a little bit, we need to work on it a little more. I can't say helpless, but
yes,
those
because
people
they,
that
they
come
have
to us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, if they yeah. aren't open to accept that this is what's happening, and there are helping spirits that will help you,
mm-hmm.
but they,
mm-hmm.
you know, they need to accept that and to be grateful
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
thankful that those beings are compassionate and wanting to help them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did the my Habletia before, which is a vision quest, like I told you before. And it was really interesting for me, because that's where I really learned that. I mean, I really learned it there. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. So it was
okay.
nice. It was nice. That ceremony was very good for me. All of them have been always good for me. Some have been harder than others, but it doesn't mean that, even though they're hard, like every lesson in life can have a hard side to it. But that's where we learn the most, and that's what we have to hold dear. And it can morph into other things. Like it can change as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, yes, because we're growing and we have different needs at different times in our lives.
Yeah.
I just wanted to, we're almost out of time here on the show. I did want
Holy
to just
mackerel.
Touch on. Yes, it goes fast. I told you.
It does go fast.
Yeah. I've heard that there's a prophecy that says the Rainbow Tribe will heal the world. And to me, the Rainbow Tribe means people of all colors coming together in peace, love, and understanding to heal the planet. And I want to be a part of that, don't you? I mean, and that means bringing in people of every color to learn the teachings and to open their hearts together and to see the wisdom that is that we say the Creator is hidden in every rock and leaf and every part of life if we would just look to see it.
Yeah, that right? sounds great. I think that that's a beautiful thought, and I think that it doesn't really matter what color skin we have. It's what color our spirit is. And if our
yes.
spirit is bright, light, and beautiful, then it will shine through. And well, we will know what the truth really is. And how
we
to,
all
how
have
to,
red hearts.
And how to behave. And and
all
we
right,
all have the knowledge. We all have the knowledge, so don't forget.
Right. Renee, we're out of time. So thank you so much for joining us today. And I hope everyone has enjoyed hearing a little bit of the inside part of being Native American and ceremony and everything and honoring the Creator. So next week, yes, thank you so much. Next week, for my listeners, we have Susan Grimaldi is joining us again. And she is wonderful. She's been on the show before, and everyone loved her. So until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.